started back in '07 in the early 21st century after a long day at work on the range in eastern Oregon. A couple of ranchers were kicking back, drinking some beer, when something caught their fancy. One of the pair had put a salt lick out in front of his cabin, a 50-pound cube of salt about a foot on each side, for wandering deer who had obligingly licked it over several weeks. The more the two ranchers looked at it, and the more beer they drank, Whit Deschner told a reporter, quote, "It just started looking more and more like art to us." Like the kind of public art you might find in front of a government building. It had grooves and curves, peaks and holes. An abstract sculpture, an artistic collaboration by artists in the wild. And that's when it came to them. Why not have an art contest of such salt lick sculpture? Ranchers regularly put them out as nutritional supplements for their livestock, and they get licked into all sorts of shapes. It was wild, it was crazy, but it caught on. 7 years later, the Great Salt Lick Contest collects the art of cows and sheep and other livestock throughout eastern Oregon and, I suspect, even western Idaho. Each piece has paperwork regarding its provenance, including a title and the species of the artist who created it. Though a salt lick costs on the order of $5, the sculptures are auctioned off for $200 to $300, and some even as high as $1,000. In its first 5 years or so, the contest raised more than $30,000 for research into Parkinson's disease. For you see, Deschner, one of the founders of this whimsical event, has Parkinson's himself. He says that his disease has taught him that, quote, "You have to follow your folly. We can't control everything, and life can be tough even if you're not a rancher in eastern Oregon or have a debilitating condition. And so sometimes we have to turn things on their head a bit, take something serious or painful and lighten it up, make of something serious something silly instead. Put the silly in the service of the serious. Sometimes we have to weigh the pros and cons of a decision, looking at it from all the angles, and then do the thing that is wild and speculative and utterly out of character anyway. Sometimes you have to follow your folly. In doing just that, Whit Deschner is not only able to raise money for a worthy cause, he has brought together an unlikely community. The local rancher who serves as the auctioneer for the contest says that it brings together, quote, "cowboys with cow manure clear to their knees and beat up old hats and wine sipping hippies, and some of the more elite high-dollar people around town. They don't normally get along all that well," she says. "And when they get in a situation like this with the Salt Lick auction, they just all get along. It's weird." Close quote. Sometimes you have to follow your folly. Who knows where it will take you? Remember those wonderful conversations on mythology that Bill Moyers had in the late 80s with Joseph Campbell? Campbell brought such an enlivening approach to mythology, looking for the cross-cultural and archetypal truths found in myth and legend. The program was a wonderful antidote to fundamentalism and literalism and gave me my first inkling that religion might actually be something I could embrace rather than reject. Campbell often said, "Follow your bliss," which was a compelling idea that somehow never felt quite right to me. Over time, I've come to see that the problem with following your bliss is that it works for people, it only works for people of a certain level of privilege. So many people in the country and around the world are too concerned with basic survival to follow their bliss. I have a colleague who says that as a universalist, she can only embrace a theology that works for all people in all circumstances. Any theology that you can't offer a mother with a child dying of starvation, she says, is not complete. Following your bliss simply can't be enough. Yet, I think there is something qualitatively different about following your folly. For it is something we can do even in the face of tragedy, perhaps especially in the face of tragedy. Following folly may be a survival strategy. The Great Salt Lick Contest is a story of creating community, of finding beauty and even the joy in the everyday. It's a story of whimsy and silliness, about seeing something newly and going with the wild extravagance and even goofiness of it all. It is also the story of putting such levity in the service of something useful, like Parkinson's research. Sometimes following your folly means doing something for the pure silliness of it. Y'all here at the Boise Unitarian Universalist Fellowship seem to have some experience with folly, as Wanda's story of the Green Gopher Project so aptly illustrates. What a delight it must have been to watch the men of the congregation gamely and dutifully going out and marking their territory. Pity it didn't chase away enough gophers to become an annual event. I love most of all that it was also an effort to express your values in living in close concert with nature. Sometimes following your folly also means doing something out of character that stretches beyond comfort zones. When I was still a teacher, my call to ministry came as a pretty big surprise. Most of the other teachers at my school thought it purest folly for me to go back to school at age 40 to study for another full 4 years, and for such a highly remunerative vocation as the ministry. Following my bliss, perhaps. Following my folly, a bit more likely, I suspect. Yet it simply became the next step I knew I would take. And it certainly did turn my life on its head. Clearly, this folly thing can be serious business as well. The stories that have grown up around the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth, as told in the four Gospels, are filled with folly. In some ways, it is one long story of turning things on their head. Jesus had come to stir things up on many fronts. He could not abide the status quo of his day. The Romans oppressed the poor, and too many leaders among the Jews were co-opted by, if not out, collaborators with them. In a society that was based on purity and honor, Jesus deliberately did things considered shameful. He sat at table with the worst of the worst. And it wasn't just the poor and lepers. He also sat down to dinner with the most reviled in his society, the tax collectors, turncoat Jews who became agents of the occupying Roman state. And he never seemed to say anything clearly or directly. Rather, he spoke in parables that read, sometimes read like Zen koans, so dense that his disciples didn't understand them. He loved to say things like the last shall be first and the first shall be last, that the meek shall inherit the earth and the poor in spirit receive the kingdom of heaven. The spiritual message is one of following folly, of the possibility of deep transformation that might turn your life upside down, but might also bring you closer to God. A knowing that when all seems lost, something can yet change and turn, be reborn and grow again. Resurrection from the seeming ashes is possible. Sometimes you have to do the best you can do in a confusing world. Sometimes you have to follow your folly. Jesus' folly was to turn the principalities and powers of his time on their heads. His message was wildly subversive. And what did his folly get him? The Jewish Messiah, as described in Hebrew Scripture, was to be a great military leader who would liberate the oppressed Jews. Instead, we find a humble carpenter who comes out of nowhere and so threatens the establishment, both Roman and Jewish, that he is killed. There is folly everywhere in the Gospels, a holy folly, at times a profoundly serious one. We are now about to enter the season of Lent in the Christian calendar, the time of preparation leading to Palm Sunday and Easter, a holy week filled with human drama and passion and folly. It is a story of tragedy, betrayal, sadness, even horror. It invites us into the tomb and the darkness to make room for resurrection. But first comes Mardi Gras. A wild party with costumes, parades, dancing, drinking, silly hats, and also profound seriousness. Jesus follows his folly throughout his ministry, even as he is not entirely sure where it will take him. And that is, I think, how we all end up walking our path in the end, not knowing where it will lead, hoping for the best. In all this crazy mixed upness, how can we know what path to follow? As Thomas Merton said, we really can't. I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. And the fact that I think I am following your will, God, does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all I am doing. Following folly can be serious, it is true. Yet more often, it can be the thing that gives life a fullness. It can add delight, whimsy, beauty, great salt lick art, green gopher projects, and all. Sometimes following your folly will change your life. Sometimes it will lighten the burden, even in the face of tragedy. Sometimes it will offer you time to rest and bloom. Go to the fields until you know you are lovely. Sometimes it will be whimsical and silly, bringing delight and laughter, helping you to always look on the bright side of life. Thank you, Monty Python. Thank you. Though clearly you have folly in your culture, you here at Boof are sometimes a little dutiful and thorough in your church work. This is not a bad thing, not at all. You care about this place and it shows. Yet I find myself now and then inviting you to let yourself be guided a bit more by delight. So, I invite you to the second Saturday potluck next week, sponsored by your dedicated minister and staff. And play bingo with us. This is not a fundraiser. All we're asking you to do is bring some donations to the Boof food pantry and get your bingo cards and play. And then, in a little bit more than a month, come to Celebration Sunday on April 6th. Your stewardship team is also injecting delight into your annual giving drive this year. Celebration Sunday will be a great big party April 6th with fabulous music, an inspiring speaker, yes, even more inspiring than I am, crafts for kids, food, and the planting of sunflowers. We're going to have a single service that day in which everyone will make their pledges for the coming year. Folly? Not exactly, but delight most certainly. Come and celebrate this magnificent community. Come and play a little and, you know, wear some more silly hats. Bring some sunflowers. Who is really to say what is folly and what is not? Who is to say that it's not pure foolishness to try to see too far ahead into the future? The light may only shine a few feet in front of you, but let it be a holy light that guides you. The desire to walk in such holy light may be the best we have. Sing and dance your way through it all together. The world is a sad, sad place all too often. So, take some time when you can and follow your folly. Amen, and blessed be God.